One of the things I really love about our church at the moment is when the kids go out, how about half the church leaves the room. Yeah. I think it's so exciting. Not to like completely spoil the whole talk, but you know, pretty much going to give away a lot of the talk now. One of the things we're looking at is about, like I said, Eden, and going back to Eden. And one of the big themes that happens in Eden is about multiplying, so having loads of kids, right? And I think that's something as a church we're doing pretty well. So well done, everybody involved, and lots more of it. Let's finish there, sermon done. But yeah, I guess being serious, I think it is actually like a really amazing sign of God's blessing and favor. So, sort of joking, but also genuinely, I think it's really exciting. And shows the church's got a really exciting future. So, anyway, this morning, as we've touched on, we're looking at rivers and Eden. But the reason that we're looking at that is to get an idea of what it means for us to be Christians. Like, what does it actually mean to be a Christian? And of course, that's something we talk about lots in different ways in different contexts. But this morning, we're talking about it through that picture of a river. Obviously, particularly important to us as a church called River Church. So feel an extra level of pressure this morning to get it right. Anyway, so just to go straight in, the Bible, I think you could say, is the story of heaven and earth coming together. And heaven is where God is, and earth's where we are, the obvious way of thinking about it. But it's not so much about geography as it is about presence and about relationship. So when I'm enjoying having Colin in the audience, I'm feeling very encouraged. I like that. Yes! Thank you, Colin. When mankind, God, are in relationship together, that's where heaven is. That's where heaven breaks out. And heaven in the Bible is often pictured as a river. And earth is often pictured as this barren, desolate, empty wasteland. Not to make the point too hard, but where the river flows, so where heaven comes, a garden explodes in the desert. And it brings heaven with it. So it's a picture, really, of what happens when we have relationship with God. It brings abundance wherever we are. And so I guess I did a survey of the Bible to kind of get an idea of where it pops up. And I don't know if any of you have done this for River, but it appears everywhere. I think it might be one of the most important pictures for us to understand in Scripture, because it appears at pretty much every key moment. And it's very literally, if you've got small font, on the first page of your Bible, and it's on the last page of your Bible. And I think that does suggest there's some significance there, right? And I think the reason it's so significant is because it's tied up with Eden, this picture of an image. Because in Eden, humankind, we were in a perfect relationship with our Creator. We were at harmony with God. And because of that, I think the different, like 50 or so different biblical authors, they're always looking back to it as a way of thinking about and reinterpreting the times that they live in through that really beautiful image of a garden and of a river, so that they can see what God's saying to them in their own time. And all these different uses, as I said, they look back to Genesis, but without necessarily realizing it, a lot of them, they're also looking ahead to Jesus. They're looking ahead to when everything's made right in the future. So we're going to take a look this morning at Genesis 2. That's where the image really starts. So we're going to start at Genesis 2, and then we're going to take a look at how it winds its way through the rest of Scripture as well. And I say the rest of Scripture, there's no chance we're covering all of it, because as I said, it's a pretty beefy metaphor. We're not even going to touch on some of the most obvious, most important ones, like Ezekiel and Revelation, because we just don't have time this morning. But let's go straight to Genesis 2, verse 5. It says, "Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth. No plant had sprung up. The Lord God had not sent any rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground." So in other words, what I'm saying here is the world at this point was barren. If you remember what I just said about wastelands, that's what's being described. But then it says, "Streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground." And so take notice of these streams, because after these streams, the very next thing that happens is life comes and God forms and creates Adam. He creates mankind from the dust of the ground. And then God plants a garden, the very next thing he does. It's a garden in the east called Eden. And there he put the man that he's just formed. And the Lord God, it says, made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees pleasing to the eye and good for food. And then it goes on to say that a river flows out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, it divides and it becomes four branches. And then it basically describes how these branches go off into the entirety of the known world at the time. So just to kind of quickly recap on that, it starts with a barren wasteland. But then God sends streams that water this wasteland and it becomes a garden blooming with life. And then a river flows out from this garden, spreading life to the whole of the known world, which we're going to talk about as the morning goes on. You've got that over there and you've got that there, how this picture sums up something that we're really wanting to grapple with as a church at the moment. So one thing we'll look at this morning is how this operates on a couple of different levels. So this picture of the wasteland into a garden can apply to your own life. It can apply to you as an individual, but can also apply to us as a church and to the people of God. And then you can also use it as a picture to see what's happening in sort of God's plan for human history and how he's saving all of us and restoring the broken world. But let's first look at our own lives, because we all like that, don't we? So to see yourself in the image, you can see how sometimes we are like barren wastelands. We feel a bit dried up and a bit shriveled. But we're watered by the presence of God, by the Holy Spirit, by spending time with Jesus. It waters us. And then a garden grows. And the garden, and it's worth remembering this for the rest of the talk, is a way of the Bible talking about life in all its fullness. It's a way of talking about abundance and joy and fruitfulness. And it's about us living in relationship with God. And then a river flows out from the garden. So having been watered by the Spirit to grow into a garden, it's as if a river of life then flows from us into the world. So we bring the life-giving presence of God wherever we go. And so we become people that heal the wasteland of the context that we live in, which is very exciting. But Genesis 2, for those who don't know the story, Genesis 2 is when everything's going really well, when we are living in good relationship with God. But then the next chapter, things stop going so well. Genesis 3, we have the story, it's often called the fall, where things go wrong. And one of the consequences of that is that we leave the garden. We leave the presence of God. And it's a bit like, it feels like we're cut off in a way from this river of life. And instead of there being this powerful river that's flowing above ground into all of the world, it's like this river almost goes underground. It's like it goes beneath the surface. And what we then see after that, in the following chapter, think of Abraham and so on, is the people of God digging wells. Wells come up a lot. One of the things I found myself going a rabbit hole down of was wells in the ancient Near East. I learned a lot about it, none of it useful. So I'll spare you my 12-point PowerPoint on wells. Glad about that, because Nate had to sit through it. yeah, you and Nate a lot for this talk, because you did a lot of childcare to make it work, and she's put up with a lot of me constantly running it through with her. Poor Nate. But anyway, where was I? So instead of there being this powerful river over ground, it's like it goes underground, and it's like the writer of Genesis and the Old Testament is saying that the people dig down to bring the water of life up for the rest of the world. And I don't think it's an accident that the early parts of the Bible are filled with story after story of different wells. Like so many of the stories take place around wells. And I think that's because God's people at that point in the story are themselves meant to be the river of life for the world. And when the stories are going right in the Old Testament, and a lot of the Old Testament, when the stories are going right, that's exactly what we see happening. They are being the river of life. And it's really exciting, those parts of the Bible. Because the people of God, they bring God's blessing, they bring his healing, and they restore broken parts of the world. My favorite example of this is how God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through you. I think that's the perfect example of being a river of life. I'm blessing the world through you. That's being a river of life. And just one example to pick one of many of where this takes place practically is the story of Joseph, where there's a famine, a wasteland, barren. But then by applying the things that God says to him and by being the person of God in that context, he brings life and abundance. And it's, again, it's a picture of Eden. When you reread that story of Joseph with that in mind, it's everywhere in that story. So I think it's a good example. But then the descendants of Joseph, here we are, they multiply, as we're meant to do, until they've become a nation. And having become a nation, they go into the promised land, which again, that promised land is likened to Eden. So it's a new Eden. And they're in Eden, and they, so Israel at this point, are the garden themselves. And from them, the river of blessing is meant to flow out into all the world, into Babylon and Persia and Egypt and all these other countries. And we see that, like David and Solomon, some of these characters, we see that. It's like the high point of the Old Testament. And David writes a psalm, Psalm 67. He says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And what I love about that is, as a church, we've really started to enjoy the Aaronic blessing lately, haven't we? May his favor be upon you, shine his face towards you, that blessing. What I love is it takes that passage and then he flips it so that David is saying, bless us so that we can bless the whole world. Bless us so that we can see the world following you, so that they will come to know you. And that's exactly, I think, a perfect picture of what it looks like when it goes well. However, after Solomon, the little bit during, things go south pretty quickly. It gets a lot worse, doesn't it? And Israel kind of stops being a blessing and decides to go its own way. You know, decides to make the river flow inward rather than outward. And the people of God end up going into exile in Babylon, the first place they head to is Babylon. And that means that they're carried off away from Israel to a new place. And when they're in exile, it's like God hasn't given up on his plan for his people to be a river of life. And so what God says to Jeremiah is this. He says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, marry, have children, multiply, increase in number, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you in your exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, then you too will prosper. And I think what God's saying here, to use the language of this morning, he's saying, be the waters of life for Babylon. Be the river of life where you are. Be an Eden in your own context. It doesn't matter to God that they're in exile. He didn't need them to be in Jerusalem. He just needed them to be a river of life. So seek the prosperity and the peace of the place that you live in. Pray for it. Because if it prospers, you prosper. And if you prosper, it prospers. That's a really biblical idea. And I think it applies to us today just as much as it did to them. So to rephrase it, in our context, it means we should be the waters of life for Maidenhead. It means that you should become the waters of life for the place that you work. It can be easy to get pretty bitter about workplaces. But God's saying, you know, a bit like in exile, the Jews, God could have said, keep your head down, make the best of it. Which can be, being very honest, the attitude in the workplace, kind of, right? But actually God's saying, your goal should be for where you are to prosper and thrive, whatever context you're in, whether that's work, whether that's the road you live in, whether it's your friends, whether it's a club you go to, you should always be looking for the blessing of your communities. And so as a church, I think for us, what you could say is, as a community living by the Spirit, you could think of us as like a little Eden in Maidenhead. So we're a little Eden and we should be looking to bring blessing as creatively and inspiredly as we possibly can. And for us to really get an idea, to really get to grips with what it means to be Eden-like, We're going to fast forward to the very best model of what it means to be Eden, to be a river of life, and that's Jesus. And with Jesus, I think we get to see the most perfect example of what it looks like when the barren wilderness comes to life. We get to see what it looks like when the wasteland meets the river. And so Jesus, just to whistle through some examples, he heals the sick. That's a sign of God healing the broken wasteland. He casts out demons. Jesus loves the lonely and the ones that to us can seem unlovable, the needy. He loves the broken. He loves people that we think aren't worthy of God's love. And he challenges corruption. He's not afraid to stand up to power. He teaches about the kingdom of God, and in doing that, brings it with him. He builds community. He's really good at building deep communities. He eats with people that are, in our way of looking at things, a long way from God. He parties, seemingly a lot, and loves it. That's where Jesus and I don't see eye to eye. He brings peace. He's an amazing peacemaker. He brings forgiveness on people who need it. And he mends relationships. People got broken relationships. And some of these things you can also go on to. There aren't things captured in the Gospels, but we can be pretty confident Jesus did them. Because he models a completely different way of living. And this is something we talk about a lot. But this morning, I just want to point out that Jesus isn't at all like Abraham or Moses or really any other character since Eden. Not like David, not like Solomon. Because Jesus isn't digging down every time to find the waters of life. He doesn't have to dig a well for that. Instead, he shows us what life in all its fullness looks like, because he's the perfect example of someone who is like that garden in Eden. And he is someone from whom a river flows. Make that contrast between digging a well every time. It's a huge difference, because Jesus is in perfect harmony and relationship with God. And that's why we see where Jesus goes, he's always bringing heaven with him, because heaven is about a relationship with God, as we said at the start. And that is why the Gospels, when you read them, are overflowing with story after story after story of Jesus bringing life in different ways. But what I think is even more exciting for us than that, it's a big claim given everything I just said, is what Jesus goes on to say in John 7. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You can see where I'm going. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we too can have life in all its fullness. Hallelujah. And so from our hearts will flow rivers of living water. And if we believe in Jesus, that's what happens. But believing in Jesus means, in part, what it means is believing that the way he taught us to live our lives is the best possible way to live. And so it means we live that way to the best of our ability. And that includes things that we've been exploring over the past few years: stillness, Sabbath, solitude, prayer, reading your Bible, trusting in God, and so much more that we're going to be looking at over the coming years, no doubt. And over time, as we do that, and we spend time with the Holy Spirit in particular, we become more and more like Jesus. And by believing in him, by believing in what he says, we are transformed to become people that are like him, looking at the board over there. And we become so like him that we become the kind of people who, like Jesus, heal the world around us, and who start to bring that river of life wherever we go. And so if, as we said earlier at the start of the talk, if after the fall it's a bit like we've been cut off from the river of life and it's gone underground, then in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, it's like that river erupts out the ground again, like a sort of a massive geyser. And what that looks like in practice is the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church. And so now none of us have to dig down to find the river of life underneath the ground and dig wells. None of us have to do that anymore. Instead, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, which is such a massive transformation. And this means that with Jesus' resurrection, heaven is breaking out into the world here and now, through the lives that we lead, through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It means that the river is flowing again. But this time, it flows from our hearts. It flows from the heart of anyone who believes in Jesus. And that means that you can be like Jesus, so that you can do things in your life that help to heal the wasteland, that help to bring life, help to bring the Garden of Eden back where you live. And so it's just like that first picture in Genesis, going back to the start of the talk, where there are streams which are watering a very dry, barren ground, bringing life, bringing a garden. And then as the garden grows, a river begins to flow outward, bringing healing to a very hurt and needing world. And so it means, to put it in the language of this series, we are watered by the Spirit so that we can grow more like Jesus, such that we cannot help but bring life where we live. We are watered by the Holy Spirit so that we grow more like Jesus and we bring life wherever we go. And so to start, heading towards a close, maybe worth coming up, I want to connect this picture that we've been exploring this morning with this banner on my right over here, which says, for those of you who can't make it out, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as Jesus did. So on the be with Jesus point, those little streams that we see in Genesis 2 that water the wasteland, that can be what it feels like when we spend time with Jesus. Our dry, tired selves, soothed by the presence of our amazing King. You can think of things like the disciplines which help us to channel that grace as being like streams which water us. When we pray, it's like a stream which waters us. When we read our Bible, the same. All these different disciplines, which leads us on to becoming like Jesus in the middle. As we are watered by these streams, a garden grows. And that garden is you beginning to live life in all its fullness. So we're transformed, I think you could put it like this, into someone who's a whole lot like what Jesus would look like if he was you living today, which requires a bit of imagination. And then finally at the bottom, do as Jesus did, doing the things Jesus did. When you live life in all its fullness, then you are like that garden in Genesis 2, where a river flows out from the garden and it brings life wherever it goes. It heals the world. And it's the same when you are living your life, that life as Jesus modeled it. We're going to look at just a little bit more of that in a minute. But what I've just described, these three, it makes it sound quite linear, like you be with Jesus, and then you become like Jesus, and then you do as Jesus did. And obviously, it's not like a video game where you level up from one to the next. It doesn't work like that, but it can be helpful to think like that, can't it? So in reality, we're always, when we're in relationship with Jesus, we're always being watered by the Spirit. We never stop being with Jesus. And if ever we do, maybe we need to go back and focus on that. And that garden starts growing as soon as we choose to take that first step, living life with Jesus. And even if it's only a tiny trickle at first, you can't help, once you've encountered Jesus, but flow outward into the world. Amen. Don't have a choice. Now, I think it can be helpful as well. Nay and I have been speaking about this a lot lately. We find it helpful to think about it as different phases of life, where you focus on different things. Because sometimes you're at a stage of life where you need more time just being with Jesus. I remember how much Adam mentioned energy in his prayer. And if you are a new parent, maybe you might find yourself feeling the need to just focus on spending time with Jesus. Or maybe, you know, you've given too much and you're close to burnout and you need to focus on the very basics. But other times we need to focus on maybe becoming like Jesus, on choosing to let his teachings transform us and to become more like him so that we can embrace life to the fullest. Or there's a stage in life where you really want to focus on giving out. But I want to emphasize here that that doesn't just mean like Christian sounding things, because it can sometimes feel like I say be a river of life, and in your head you think, oh yeah, it's different Christian ministry type activities. It doesn't even just mean charity work and that kind of thing, or Sunday services. When you look at the life of Jesus, we whistled through a list earlier, there are so many things in there which bring life, which we often don't think about. And it could be as simple as a cup of tea with someone on your road who you know is lonely. Stuff like that starts to bring life to a dry, broken world. It could be bigger than that. It could be, you know, I look at Maidenhead High Street. I think it urgently needs some nice shops. That is a way of bringing life to an otherwise barren high street. And there are loads of different things like that. So use your creativity. Spend time with God. How can I bring life? Anyway, as we finish, what I want us to do, if we can, is just to stand up now. And I want to invite everyone to just think about those three phases that we spoke about. And if you're comfortable, maybe put your hands out and just think about being with Jesus, letting the streams of life water you, becoming like Jesus, so living life to the full, that exploding garden, or doing things Jesus did, so being like that river of life that flows outward. And I don't know if, as I was speaking this morning, any one of those particularly resonated with where you're at in your life, but I think it would be really good if we could just to hold one of those in our mind. And we'll just pray, and then we'll go into some worship. But Father God, we thank you that you are a river of life. Holy Spirit, we thank you that where you come in our world, a garden grows. We thank you that whatever stage we're at, we can always come back to you. God, we pray this morning for that river of life, Holy Spirit, that you come, you would be with us this morning as we go into some worship. We spend some more time with you. We pray that we would know that healing presence of your Spirit. I pray that as a church, we would all come to know life to the fullest. I pray as a church, we would be a church that flows out and brings life in our town, creative, unexpected, wonderful, different ways. And yeah, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much that you are a river of life, and we can be as well. Amen.
Come rest on us, come down. when you move will make my heart drop. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll feel me calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart drop. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll feel me.
Yeah, let's take this time to be watered by the Spirit, to be filled, to be with Jesus.
Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven.
Just love to pray for three different groups. As I was speaking, if anyone in the room, you feel like you relate to this idea of a dry wasteland, more than anyone wants to ever relate to a dry wasteland, it'd be great if in a moment you could just maybe put your hand up or let someone know. If you're not comfortable with that, there's a prayer place at the back. If right now your experience of the Christian faith of walking with Jesus does not feel like living life to the fullest, if it doesn't feel like you know what it is to drink from rivers of life, then we'd love to pray with you as well. Maybe in a minute you can put your hands up as well. And then finally, the third one is, if there's anyone in the room who really wants to flow outward, if at this point in your life, if you feel challenged maybe by what was said, that you want to bring life and abundance in the contexts that you live in, then it would be great to pray with you as well. So maybe just to start, if anyone feels like that, you could put your hand up and people around them, you could pray with them. But it would be great to just pray for everyone first. And then there's prayer place over there, and myself, Adam, and anyone else, we'd love to pray with you. But then I will pass the comment. Jesus, for those of us this morning that feel dry and feel barren, we pray that you would send your river of life, and that we would know what it is to feel a garden growing again. And for those of us who don't feel like we are living life to the full right now, Jesus, we pray that they would know what it is to live life with you. It's not always easy, but it's always life to the full. And then finally, anyone who this morning you feel called to look outward, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would equip these people, you would support these people, you would empower these people in Jesus' name.